Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today we have something really special for you.
We really do.
Yeah. If you've spent any time recently interacting with AI chatbots, whether you're, asking GPT-4 to draft a difficult email, or having Claude summarize some massive PDF, or even using Gemini to troubleshoot messy code, you've probably had that moment.
Oh, absolutely. That moment where you just stop and think.
Right. You think, how is this thing actually doing this? Because it really, it feels like magic.
It does. It feels exactly like there's a little person inside your computer just reading your words, contemplating them, and thinking about how to reply.
Exactly. But today, we are going to strip away the magic. We're going to look under the hood and understand exactly how these tools actually work.
And we are pulling from an incredibly detailed presentation deck today. It's titled, How AI Large Language Models Work.
It's a fantastic resource.
It really is. And our goal for you, the listener, is to walk away from this deep dive with a crystal clear understanding of the mechanics. By the end of our conversation, you're going to know exactly how these models talk, why they seem to remember things you told them last week, and why they sometimes confidently lie to your face.
Which we have all experienced. It's just so easy to personify them, right? Because the interface is a chat window.
Right. It mimics human texting.
Yeah. We are used to texting humans, so when a machine texts us back in perfect, polite English, our brains just naturally assume human-like thought processes are happening. But the reality is, it's so much more mechanical.
Very mechanical.
So to start at the very beginning, let's look at AI, AI school. The sheer scale of these large language models, or LLMs, is almost hard to comprehend. We are talking about models with hundreds of billions of adjustable parameters trained on basically the entire readable internet.
The scale is the foundation of everything they do. When we talk about hundreds of billions of parameters, think of those as well. Imagine tiny mathematical dials or volume knobs.
Hundreds of billions of volume knobs.
Exactly. The system constantly tunes these dials during its training process. But it doesn't just, absorb the internet and suddenly know how to be a helpful assistant. It actually goes through a very rigorous three-stage training pipeline to get there.
Okay, let's unpack this. What does the very first stage of that pipeline look like? How does it start learning?
Stage one is called pre-training. In this stage, the model is fed trillions of words from books, websites, articles, raw code, you name it. But its task is incredibly simple, almost deceptively simple.
It's reading.
Not just reading. Its only job is to predict the next word in a sentence. It reads a chunk of text and tries to guess the word that comes next. If it guesses wrong, it adjusts a few of those billions of parameter dials slightly. If it guesses right, it reinforces them.
Okay, so by playing this massive game of fill in the blank over and over, it implicitly learns grammar.
Right. It learns grammar, it absorbs facts, and it actually starts to pick up on human reasoning patterns.
So if I feed it the phrase, the sky is, it learns to predict blue. But because it's reading trillions of words, it's also learning to predict the next word in, say, a complex legal contract.
Or a recipe. Or a piece of Python code.
Yes.
Yes. It is basically building a massive statistical map of human language.
That is wild.
It is a great way to look at it. But at the end of stage one, you do not have a polite chatbot. You just have a massive predictive text engine. If you typed, how do I bake a cake into a stage one model, it might not give you a recipe.
What would it do?
It might just generate the next logical sentence you would find on an internet forum. Like, I also want to know how to bake a cake. Or, here are five tips for baking.
Oh, because it's just mimicking forum patterns.
Exactly. It just mimics patterns. That is why we need stage two, which is instruction fine-tuning.
That makes total sense. It needs to learn that I am asking a direct question, not starting a Reddit thread. So in stage two, are they feeding it different data?
Yes. Instead of just reading raw internet text, the model is fed highly specific examples of good question and answer pairs. The developers show the model, when a user asks a prompt like this, the proper way to respond is with an answer formatted like this.
So it's learning the format of being helpful.
Right. The task here is to learn how to follow instructions. This takes that raw, babbling internet simulator and molds it into something that actually functions as an assistant.
But there's still one more step, right? Because even if it knows how to answer a question, how does it know what constitutes a genuinely good answer?
That brings us to stage three.
Wow.
RLHF. That stands for reinforcement learning from human feedback. This stage is absolutely crucial. Real human testers sit down and interact with the model.
Real humans.
Yes, real people. The model might generate two different answers to the exact same question, and the human reads both, then clicks on the one that is more helpful, safe, and accurate.
So it's basically getting star ratings from humans.
Exactly. Those human ratings are used to build a secondary reward model, which then automatically trains the main model, nudging its parameters toward generating those highly rated responses.
It's like finishing school for the AI.
That's a perfect analogy. It goes from knowing everything to knowing how to answer a question to knowing how to answer a question politely and helpfully. When you use one of these tools and it feels like a friendly professional, it is specifically because of this RLHF stage.
Okay, so that is the training, but how does it actually process all that text when I'm typing to it?
What's fascinating here is the underlying architecture that actually allows it to process all of this data. The core innovation that makes all of this possible is something called the transformer architecture.
The transformer, like the Google paper from a few years ago.
Yes, introduced by Google researchers in 2017. This fundamentally changed the trajectory of artificial intelligence.
The transformer is essentially the engine under the hood, right? Mm-hmm. Stacking sometimes more than 100 neural network layers on top of each other.
It is. But before the text even gets into those layers, the AI has to actually read what you typed. And it does not read words the way you and I do.
Not at all.
No. If you type a sentence into the chat, the very first thing that happens is a process called tokenization. The AI splits your text into tokens. You can think of tokens as subword units.
Subword units, meaning not full words.
Sometimes a token is a whole word, like apple, but often it is just a chunk of a word, like pre or ing.
So it chops the text up into these little token puzzle pieces, but how does it understand what those pieces actually mean?
It converts them into something called embeddings. The best way to visualize an embedding is to imagine a giant, multi-dimensional map of meaning.
A map of meaning.
Yes. The AI takes every token and assigns it a specific coordinate on this map. On this map, the city of King is located right next to the city of Queen. They share similar contexts, but the city of Apple is on a completely different continent.
Unless we are talking about computers, in which case Apple might be located right next to Microsoft on the map.
You hit the nail on the head. That mathematical map is what allows the real magic of the transformer to happen. And that magic is the attention mechanism.
I want to make sure we ground this because it sounds incredibly abstract. Let's use a sentence. Imagine you type, the cat sat on the mat because it was tired.
Okay, good example.
For you and me, reading that, we instantly know that the word it refers to the cat. The cat was tired, not the mat. How does a machine know that?
This is exactly what the attention mechanism solves. In older AI architectures, the system would read words strictly one by one, left to right. By the time it got to the end of a long paragraph, it would easily forget what happened at the beginning.
Right, it would lose the plot.
But with attention, every single token looks at every other token in the sentence simultaneously.
Simultaneously, so it's not reading left to right.
It is processing the whole block of text at once.
Cool.
As the model looks at the token for it, the attention mechanism calculates mathematical weights connecting it to cat and it to mat.
Oh, I see.
And because of its training on that giant map of meaning, it calculates a much stronger connection between it and cat in the specific context of the word tired.
It mathematically weighs the context of every word in relation to every other word all at once. That is brilliant.
It's a phenomenal piece of engineering.
But that is just how it reads. How does it write? I'll be honest, the other day I asked an AI for a specific muffin recipe, and it gave me a recipe that included a tablespoon of baking soda instead of baking powder.
Oh no.
Yeah, completely hallucinated, a terrible recipe. But as it was writing it out, the words streamed across my screen so naturally it really looked like it was thinking and typing.
This is where we confront what we might call the illusion of thought. The model does not formulate an entire paragraph in its head and then write it down. Let us walk through the step-by-step generation process. Imagine you ask it a simple question. What is the capital of France?
Okay, so first comes tokenization. It chops my question into tokens. Then it processes those tokens through the attention layers, looking at the mathematical map of meaning. But how does it pick the answer? Is it just searching for the best possible word?
Not exactly. Mm. The model calculates a massive probability distribution for every single possible token in its entire vocabulary, guessing what the very next token should be.
Every single token?
Yes. It looks at your question, runs the math, and says the next token might be the, and that has a 32% probability. or it might be Paris, which has a 28% probability, or it could be France's with a 15% probability.
So it's just a giant slot machine of probabilities.
Yes. Then it performs token sampling. It selects one of those highly probable tokens. Let us say it picks Paris. It outputs that word to your screen. And then it does something very important.
What's that?
It appends Paris to the end of your original question, and the entire process starts completely over.
Wait, so it feeds the new, slightly longer string of text back into the system, like, what is the capital of France? Paris. And then it calculates the probabilities for the next single token, which might be is.
Yes. The absolute most crucial rule to understand here is this. The model generates text one single token at a time. It does not think ahead. It has no grand plan for the end of the sentence. It simply samples a token, tacks it onto the end of the text, and repeats.
That perfectly explains my terrible muffin recipe. I wasn't referencing a cookbook. It was just walking down a statistical probability tree. In the context of baking, the token for soda is highly probable after the token for baking.
Exactly.
It's just guessing the next word over and over again, incredibly fast. This also explains why it handles typos so well. If I type a prompt with terrible spelling, the AI just completely understands me anyway. It doesn't even pause.
That ties right back into tokenization and context.
Right.
Let's say you type the phrase as far as I know, but you misspell no with a K-N-O-N-W at the end.
Right. A very common fat finger typo.
The AI does not run a spell checker. First, the tokenizer encounters known and breaks it down into subword fragments because it does not recognize it as a whole word. Then, the attention mechanism looks at all the surrounding words as far as I.
So even though the word is garbled, the mathematical weight of the surrounding sentence acts like a massive magnet, pulling the model toward the only sensible interpretation, which is the word no.
Precisely. It infers meaning from context, much like a human effortlessly reads a typo without short-circuiting. However, there are places where this contextual superpower fails.
Where does it fail?
It struggles significantly when there is very little contextual signal to rely on. For example, if you make a typo in a piece of computer code or a specific part number, a 7 instead of an 8 in a serial number does not change the surrounding context of the sentence, so the attention magnets can't fix it.
That makes perfect sense. The context isn't strong enough. Okay, let's pivot slightly. Here's where it gets really interesting. We need to talk about memory.
Memory is a huge topic.
Because we have established that it talks one token at a time, but what about when I have a back and forth conversation with it? I have to push back a little on the idea that it has no memory.
Okay, let's hear it.
I've had hour-long conversations where the AI brings up a joke I made 20 minutes prior. It has to be retaining something.
I understand why it feels that way, but it absolutely does not.
Mm.
This is perhaps the greatest illusion of all when dealing with large language models. These models have zero persistent memory. They are fundamentally stateless.
But if it is completely stateless, how does it know we are continuing a conversation? How did it remember my joke?
Through something called the context window. Because the model cannot remember anything from one moment to the next, the interface you are using has to resend the entire conversation history back to the model every single time you hit enter.
Wait, the entire history? Every time?
Every single time. When you send your 10th message in a chat, the system bundles your first question, the AI's first answer, your second question, and so on, all the way down to your new message. It bundles them into one giant block of text and feeds all of it through the neural network again.
So it rereads everything?
Yes. The model rereads the entire history of the conversation from scratch on every single turn.
So it's like a doctor who is about to walk into an exam room to see you. Now, this doctor has never met you. They have absolutely no memory of you.
Wow.
But right before they open the door, they stand in the hallway and speed read your massive, detailed medical file. When they walk in, they say, "Oh, I see your knee is still bothering you from that skiing trip." They seem to know everything about you, but they actually just read the file seconds ago.
That is a brilliant analogy.
Yeah.
The preparation is real, but the memory is not. Everything the model knows about you during a chat is contained entirely within that context window.
But what about features like ChatGPT's permanent memory? Sometimes it remembers that I have a dog, even when I start a brand new, fresh chat on a completely different day.
That's a great question.
How does that work if the model itself is totally stateless and reading a blank file?
It is essential to separate the underlying mathematical model from the software product built around it. The model itself has no memory. But the product, the web interface you are clicking on, uses engineering tricks to fake it.
Engineering tricks?
Yes. When you tell the AI something important, like, "I have a dog," The software quietly extracts that fact and saves it into a standard traditional database.
So it's just saving text to a hard drive somewhere.
Right. And the next time you start a fresh chat, before you even type a word, the software secretly pulls those facts from the database and pastes them invisibly at the very top of your new context window.
Invisibly.
Yes. This hidden area is called the system prompt.
The prompt actually looks something like, you are a helpful assistant. The user has a dog. Now here is the user's question.
Exactly. The AI just reads that hidden text and acts accordingly. It is purely an engineering layer sitting on top of a stateless model.
And the takeaway for you, the listener, is that because this memory is just an external text file, it is completely malleable. You can manually delete memory entries and completely change how the model behaves.
How can? It also means there's a hard physical limit to conversations.
Right. The context window, it's large. Some models can handle 200,000 tokens, but it is finite. If you talk to an AI long enough, the conversation gets too big. When the window fills up, the oldest messages literally drop out. The AI just stops receiving them, which means they vanish from its mind entirely.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, especially for any listeners who work in software, you can frame the LLM as a very familiar concept, a probabilistic infinite state machine. It functions exactly like a standard REST API interacting with a database behind it.
Could we translate that for those of us who aren't software engineers?
Of course. Think of the AI like a massive, highly efficient restaurant kitchen. When you place an order, the kitchen cooks it perfectly and hands it to the waiter. But the kitchen immediately forgets you exist.
Okay, I'm following.
If you want a refill on your drink, you can't just say, I need a refill. The waiter has to bring the entire original ticket back into the kitchen, showing them exactly who you are and what you ordered previously, just so they can process the refill. The AI is the stateless kitchen. The chat history on your screen is the ticket.
So what does this all mean? We have covered a lot of ground today. Token prediction, attention mechanisms, stateless architectures, restaurant kitchens. Knowing all of this perfectly explains the fundamental limitations of these tools.
The limitations are direct, unavoidable consequences of the architecture. First, there is no real-time knowledge.
Because of the training.
Yes. Because the model relies on billions of parameters locked in during that massive training phase, it has a strict cutoff date. Unless the product interface is explicitly designed to go run a web search and paste the results into your context window, your order ticket, the model does not know the news from this morning.
Second is the finite context limit. You now know exactly why, if you paste a 300-page book into a chat and ask a highly specific question about chapter one, the AI might get confused or forget earlier instructions.
Exactly. The window gets crowded, the oldest stuff drops out, and the attention mechanism loses its focus.
And third, the most famous limitation. Perfect accuracy is mathematically impossible. This is why hallucinations happen.
Like you're baking soda muffins.
Yes, my terrible muffins.
Because the model is generating text, probabilistically, one token at a time. It is not looking up facts in a trusted encyclopedia. It is guessing what word comes next based on statistical patterns. Sometimes those patterns lead it down a path that sounds highly plausible, but is factually entirely wrong.
Because it hallucinates.
It hallucinates because it is designed to be a creative pattern matcher, not a calculator.
If I can distill everything we've talked about into one final actionable takeaway for you, knowing that this is a stateless probability engine completely changes how you should use it.
It absolutely should.
Your prompt isn't a conversation. It's a mathematical weight. The better, clearer, and more detailed your instructions are, the heavier the magnet you are providing to pull the AI toward the right answer. You now know why you have to remind it of previous instructions and why it can infer your typos but fail at complex math. You have finally seen behind the curtain.
This raises an important question, though, a final thought for you to explore on your own. We have established today that LLMs simply model statistical patterns in language.
Right.
They are entirely stateless machines, possessing zero persistent memory, operating purely on the statistical probability of the next word. Yet, they can flawlessly mimic logic, they can summarize complex scientific papers, and they can hold highly coherent, empathetic-sounding conversations.
It's really hard to reconcile the math with the experience.
It is. If an entirely stateless machine possessing no persistent memory can do all of that just by guessing the next word, what does that imply about human consciousness?
Oh, wow.
Are our own internal thoughts, our own logic, and our own reasoning just highly complex biological versions of next token prediction? It is a fascinating, almost unsettling question to consider the next time you find yourself chatting with an AI.
That is a wild thought to end on, a biological next token predictor. Thank you for joining us today on The Deep Dive. Keep learning, keep questioning, and we will see you next time.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.